RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. Strange Tales. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. We'll hear a story from The Creaking Door this week, a series that originally aired over Springbok Radio in South Africa. It was broadcast primarily in the 1960s, maybe into the 1970s. There seems to be some question to that. But most of the surviving episodes came from the 1964 to 1965 run. We'll hear Dangerous Dive, their story from June 8, 1964.
Ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Pine Chillers. The Creaking Door. The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes take pleasure in presenting The Creaking Door. Good evening, friends of The Creaking Door. The Creaking Door is open. So do come in. Have you ever considered the poor deep-sea diver? Now there's an interesting job for you. Walking along the silent seabed, thousands of feet under the surface. Not a sound. The pressure down there causing you to suck in deep breaths, just to give you the energy to move. A pleasant little walk on the bottom of the sea. Surprising what you can bump into down there in the Stygian gloom.
Move in world class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5 today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders. And the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Move in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5 today.
Edgar Trevelyan had a small fishing boat, a catch, and a diving suit, and a partner. His partner was called Fred Martin, and he came from London. her trusted friend, which was very silly of him.
Don't you see? We've got nothing to lose.
But isn't there some business about getting permission from the Coast Guard or the Treasury or something?
Yeah, we don't want to bother about nonsense like that. Now, the Birkenhead was sunk in 1942. She was on her way from Cape Town with a shipment of gold.
Yes, I know all that. And I know she went down just off the point. I remember it well. But you don't think that she's been allowed to sit there for 25 years, do you? They've been down there. They must have died for her.
Yeah, of course they have. They dived straight after it happened. They dived just after the war. And they've dived three times since then.
Well, then, there won't be no gold left down there.
Oh, yes, there will. Because they haven't recovered any. None of the divers ever came back to the surface. Old Acre looked at me in disbelief, as well he might. It was an unlikely sounding story, but it was true. The Birkenhead's gold had never been recovered. So many lives had been lost trying to recover it that they put a stop to the attempts. The Coast Guards and the Treasury had forbidden it. There wasn't much at stake to make a determined, expensive effort really worthwhile. Not enough to interest the government or Lloyd, but enough for me.
Why didn't the other divers come back to the surface? What happened to them?
Yeah, they must have got their airlines caught between jagged rocks.
Oh, I don't like the sound of that. Could be something down there.
It was a fine night. The moon was high and full. The water was still, dark, and ominous.
This is about it, isn't it? Otherwise, why did we leave the catch and row?
We left the catch because I don't want no one to see where we're diving. Small rowing boat, they won't spot so easily.
Who do you expect is going to spot us anyway? We're miles off the coast and there's no ship anywhere.
Oh, but there is the Coast Guard. And that's where I'm going to catch. They're not supposed to be doing this, remember? Now, this should do. Now, I'll move your helmet, Edgar. And I'll get the pump going.
Put the helmet on. Right, eat the car.
Yeah, I better get my phone on. Now, try yours.
Hello? Hello, all right. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Well, I can hear you fine. All right, then. I'll just boat you in. Down to 30 fathoms. I lowered him down to 30 fathoms. That's a lot of water to have over your head. But Edgar's voice came through loud and clear on the intercom. I wanted to know why those other divers didn't come back. Maybe Edgar wouldn't come back. That would be tough for him. But I could always find another diver. What I wanted to know was what it was. I wanted to know why the divers never came back, why the airline was broken. And I hoped that Edgar, over the intercom, would tell me. Can you see him?
Yes, I can see her all right. She's right in front of me, sitting on the sand as peaceful as you
please. Never mind the poetry. Get on board and find out where the gold is.
Yes, all right, I'll do that. Johnny, he doesn't look real. Like the sort of ghost ship. She's sitting quite upright on the sand.
Did she see this dwarf?
It goes in the forest hole. You'll need a blowtorch to get through. Let me know when you want it and I'll lower it down. An oxyacetylene torch is a marvelous thing. Within 10 minutes of locating the hold, Edgar had it open. It seemed as if no one had ever managed to get the gold out before. But Edgar was a good guy. I felt a bit sorry for him when I realized that the time had come to go through with the first part of my plan. Last choking scream. Even now at night when everything's still, and perhaps I'm fast asleep, that voice comes to me.
Fred. Fred, please. Don't leave me, Fred. Fred!
But that night, off the Cornish coast, with a few seabirds crying and the lazy slap of the waves against the rowing boat, there was no doubt Edgar was dead. I sculled back to the kitchen, sailed back to the harbor. I collected Pamela and I reported the matter to the local authorities.
Now, let me get this straight, Mr. Martin. Yeah. You and your partner, Edgar, were out about 15 miles,
yeah. Oh, I feel terrible about it, Sergeant. I tried to talk him out of it, didn't I, Pamela?
You can't blame yourself, Fred. He was an obstinate old fellow, old Edgar. Well, you know that, Inspector.
Sergeant, ma'am. What's your name, please? Were you also aboard the rowing boat?
Oh, no, I didn't know they were going to attempt it. When they discussed it the previous night, I thought Fred had talked Edgar out of it.
Miss Hastings is a very good friend of mine, Sergeant. Well, my fiancé, actually.
Oh, I see. And you thought that Edgar Trevelyan had been dissuaded. Is that it, Miss Hastings?
That's it entirely. That's what I thought.
You know, of course, Mr. Martin, that salvage operations on the Birkenhead have been forbidden because so many divers lost their lives?
Yes, of course I know, Sergeant. And that's why I tried to talk Fred out of it. But you know what you Cornishmen are like. He insisted.
Yeah, I see, sir. I'm surprised Edgar tried it. He must have known the stories.
What stories?
Oh, folks around here know them. The last couple of fellows who dived for that wreck didn't die of suffocation. Their airlines were intact.
What? How do you mean?
Well, we couldn't let the real story get out, of course. I say we, but it wasn't nothing to do with me, of course. But this is what I hear.
Look, man, get on with it.
Steady, darling. Go on, Sergeant.
Now, the first few tries were made. Well, the airline suddenly surfaced, whipping about a bit as the air blew out into nothing. They'd been cut. Jagged sort of cuts.
Yeah?
Then after that, they sent a man down with a specially seized, heavily armored airline it was impossible to cut through or break. He was the first of the ones who didn't die. Poor devil.
Why, poor devil, he didn't die.
Been better off if he had a done. He suddenly started to scream and shout down there. Going off his head, he was. They dragged him back as quickly as they could. Too quickly, probably. When they got him to the surface and back in the boat, he was insane. Screaming and thrashing about. It took 5 men to hold him down. But what
had happened down there?
Who knows? But he and the other two after him who tried spent the rest of their lives in an asylum, screaming about the terrible thing that haunted the Birkenhead. That ship down there is haunted, Mr. Martin. The gold is being protected by a ghost.
Move in world class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5 today. We promise you, It's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders. And the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Smooth in world class. Get the taste of new, smooth State Express 3-5 today.
Of a watery grave, but a watery ghost. And that's something that Fred just couldn't fathom. But he wasn't put off. He could explain everything. Or at least, that's what he thought.
Don't be silly, Pam. You're as bad as those silly, superstitious people who live in Cornwall. People in this part of the world are known for their ghost stories, legends.
Well, what happened then? There's no denying that something happened. Those last couple of divers are still in institutions. Still raving mad. Something must have caused that to happen.
The bends.
What?
The bends. That's what was the matter with them. The bends is a very painful sort of a cramp. Only 1,000 times worse. Divers get it when they're brought to the surface too fast. Some sort of thing, nitrogen, I think, sort of bubbles into the bloodstream. Could injure the brain. Injure it badly. Badly enough to drive a man mad. And that's what happened.
Can't be sure.
Of course I'm sure. Look, I'll tell you what happened. They thought they saw something down there. Even that fool Edgar said the ship looked like a ghost ship. They thought they saw something, and then they panicked. They screamed to be brought up. The men on the surface, also remembering what had happened in the past, anxious that nothing should happen to them, brought them up too quickly. When they hit the surface, the bends hit them. Nowadays, they would have been put into a decompression tank. But in those days, they probably just sat back and watched the fools go out of their minds. That's what happened, Pam. There's no ghost down there. There's no such thing as ghosts. But I was wrong. Or was I? I don't know anymore. Anyway, the next night, Pamela and I took out the catch. It was mine now. Just the gold would be mine. All mine. And Pam's. No fool Edgar to share it with, to be scared that he might talk. All that gold. And just Pam and I to share it. Getting it up would be simple. Pam would stay on the surface. I'd train her well in what to do. I would go down. Take a grab and hooks with me. Stick the gold in some sort of hoist and guide it to the surface as Pam worked the pattern up there. Simple. It wouldn't take us long. Edgar talked about a day, but Pam and I rode to the place just before midnight, and we'd be finished by dawn.
I'm scared. Please, forget about it. We don't need that money as badly as all that.
What are you talking about? You're talking rubbish.
I'm not. Let's go, Duffel. We can be.
Do you think I've gone to all this trouble to set the thing up, bribe the guy at the Admiralty, get the charge, work out the position, murder Edgar, and all for nothing? You must be mad.
I'm not mad, Fred. Something evil about this spot. I can feel it. Can you?
No, I can't.
Ominous. Something evil. Something's trying to warn us.
Shut up and help me on with my helmet.
But please, Fred, do as I...
Look, are you going to help me or aren't you? Everybody's expendable in this business, you know. If you don't want to do it, I'll get somebody else.
Get rid of me like you got rid of Edgar, I suppose.
Well, don't push your luck too far. Murder is the only thing in life where you really do get two for the price of one. One murder or two murders, they only harm you once. Now, are you in? Or do I get somebody else?
I love you, Fred. I'm in.
I dropped down through the inky depths. It was cold, quiet, the grave, and cold. The only sound was the slight hissing as the life-giving oxygen was pumped into the helmets, and the slight bubbling noises as the bad air escaped past my ear. The sand swirled past my new piece of my land on the floor of the ocean. Everything seemed to take such a long time.
Fred? Guy, are you all right?
Yes, of course I'm all right. Now, drop down beside the wreck. Hector was right. It does look like a ghost ship sailing over the sand.
What else do you see, Fred? What else?
Here's the hole in Edgar Van. And here's his lifeline, too.
Is his body there?
Yes, of course it's still here. Do you think he got up and walked away?
I'm scared, Fred. I have the feeling that anything could happen.
No, keep it to yourself. I don't want to hear about what you're scared of.
All right, Fred, I won't say anything.
And just keep out of things until I shout for you to hoist the gold up.
All right, I'll wait. I mean, hurry,
Fred. Oh, for heaven's sake, stop nagging. Look, switch your intercom off. I don't want your voice in my ears all the time I'm doing this, stuff.
Fred, I...
Do as I say. It's bad enough down here without your moaning in my ear like the voices do. Now switch it off. When I want you to haul in the gold, I'll give three tugs on the lifeline. Slow ones. If you get a lot of fast ones, then just pull me in. And switch on again if that happens. Otherwise, keep out of my hair.
All right, Fred.
Hello. Pamela? Pamela, hello. Well, at least she does what she's told.
Like me, eh, Fred?
What was that?
I did as I was told, didn't I?
Hector's voice.
Didn't do me very much good. You killed me, Fred.
Oh.
You murdered me.
Are you sitting around with that income up there?
Yes. Your hearing seems all right. Your hearing me. The man you murdered.
So mind it.
Not yourself. It's me. Your partner. Your dead partner. It's not a monster, Fred. Shut up, please. You're a monster. Look at me, poor boy. Look how I must have fleshed about. Hairline all entangled. Lifeline. I never thought you'd do that to me, Fred. You're not going back up. You're not going back up, Fred. Not with me. You're going to die down here. You're going to die like I died. Struggling to draw a breath. Trying to scratch your way out of this tin can. You're going to die, Fred.
I don't know what it is. There's no such thing as ghosts. Pam! He switched off. Of course, he switched off the intercom. I'll plug on the lifeline. Nothing wrong. Yes, but keep your switch open. I want you to listen. Tell me if you hear anything.
You won't hear anything, funny boy. You just as you would be.
Did you hear that, Pam?
Yes, I heard what you said. I'll keep listening.
Never mind what I said. Did you hear him?
Him? Fred, what are you talking about? What's wrong?
Nothing wrong. But didn't you hear anything but me?
He can't hear me, funny boy.
Yes. Didn't you hear that?
Yeah, what? Hey, something wrong, isn't it? Down there. I'm going to pull you up.
No. No, you're not. I'm not scared of any voices. I'm not going to give up a fortune just because a fool voice in my ear starts.
No, you'll give it up, Fred. You'll never get back alive.
Now listen. Even if you are a ghost, I'm not scared of you.
Oh, it's not me you've got to be worried about. But take a good look in front of you. Take a good look.
No!
You see what I mean? I'm not. That's the thing that's going to finish you off, Fred.
No!
Oh, just relax, Mr. Martin. Yeah. Give him an injection. That'll calm him down. Tell him to say things. What really happened?
He suddenly said he heard voices down there.
Yeah.
I was listening. I could hear nothing. Then he suddenly screamed. No, no, no. I pulled him up. I haven't been able to get any sense out of him.
Yes, I see. Now, Mr. Martin, what was it that you saw? What was it?
It wasn't real. It was all the evil thoughts I'm enclosed in one hideous, unbelievable form. It was, you know, disgusting, impossible.
Now, just relax. Try to sleep. It's the bends, you see, Miss Hastings. It can play funny tricks with a man's brain. It can cause damage, permanent damage.
You mean
it'll always be like... I'm afraid so. But don't worry. We'll keep him here. He'll be safe.
Oh, no, that's worse than death.
Worse than death. Aim for it.
What was that?
He's hearing voices again, you see. Very sad.
They think you're imagining me, Fred. They can't hear me. But you're not imagining things. I'm here with you. And I'll be with you. Always.
Short of someone to talk to, will he? Edgar's always there. And I don't know why Fred makes such a fuss about this horrible monster on the ocean bed. It happens to be a personal friend of mine. Down here, behind the creaking door.
The taste of new smooth State Express 3-5 today. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. It's a blend that has been perfected after years of constant research by our master blenders, and the recent development of an entirely new process which gives you an even smoother 3-5 smoke. We promise you, it's the smoothest cigarette you can get. Smooth in world class. Get the taste of new smooth State Express 3-5 today.
This is your host back again. Just a reminder of our rendezvous next week. Where are we going? Through the creaking door? Of course.
The manufacturers of State Express 3-5 Filter King cigarettes invite you to listen next Saturday at 9 o'clock when they will again present The Creaking Door.
That's our strange tale for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from The Creaking Door at relicradio.com, alongside past episodes of this show, all the others, our Shoutcast stream, our donate button, if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Everything available is at relicradio.com. Thanks to those who have donated. Your support makes all of this possible. Come back next Sunday for a story from Theater 5 and another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.